On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're learning about several bills that address sexual assault. Attorney General Josh Call was on our program last month, and he talked about how the Justice Department had addressed a backlog of testing on sexual assault kits. And he was hopeful at the time about new legislation that could help prevent a backlog from happening again.
It's really critical that we did this testing process. And the reason is that if somebody comes forward, reports a sexual assault and has this evidence collected, we want them to know that if they want that evidence to be submitted to the crime labs, that it's going to be, and that we are going to do what we can to get justice in cases involving sexual assault.
Are you a survivor of sexual assault or a victim's advocate? What do you think of Wisconsin's handling of sexual assault cases and evidence? What do you make of bills that would store untested rape kits for up to 10 years? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ian Henderson is an attorney and director of legal and system services for the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, which supports dozens of victim service providers across the state. Ian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, let's start out by looking at a bill announced earlier this month that would create a tracking system for rape kits or evidence collected for potential sexual assault cases. And this bill was put forth by Representatives Jeremy Thiesfeld and Chris Taylor, a Republican and a Democrat, respectively. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how such a system would be set up and used?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'll do my best to give you a sort of a general overview. So this legislation really follows on some of the work that's been done nationally by groups like the Joyful Heart Foundation, which is an End the Backlog project that has developed recommendations for states who are looking at reforming their processes and regarding tracking and storing and testing of sexual assault kits. As we heard at the beginning of the newscast. This is Wisconsin has had an issue with unsubmitted kits, and we put into practice testing for those kits. And this tracking system is one of the key components for reform regarding sexual assault kits. And it would basically establish a data bank which would allow healthcare professionals, law enforcement, prosecutors, the ability to update and track information regarding sexual assault kits throughout the criminal justice process. And I think really critically, allow a victim of sexual assault to anonymously track or receive updates regarding the location and status of their kit throughout the criminal justice process.
Explain this tracking system. How could the system help survivors of sexual assault get information about their cases or their evidence?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think information is power for survivors. And if you think about sexual assault as one of the most dehumanizing and at its root, right, is about taking power away from someone. And so anything we can do as a society and in this case as a criminal justice system to restore power and options and information to survivors, that's a real positive. And so this legislation would allow survivors to anonymously and at their choosing when and where to access that information. If you think about what happened with the 6,000 kits in Wisconsin and also elsewhere in the nation of kits that were sitting primarily in law enforcement agencies, this would allow survivors to be able to access information to find out where the kit is in the process, and then to, if they want, potentially ask questions about where the kit is and what's happening with it. So I think that information is really critical for survivors.
Do we know whether this type of tracking system would be expensive, or would it be cumbersome, burdensome for law enforcement to operate and keep up to date?
Well, I do note in the legislation there, there's funding attached to that. I think that's really important. Other states have enacted kit tracking systems. So just to name a few, Washington, Texas, and Michigan, to name a few, have enacted kit tracking systems. And I think, again, speaking to the reasons why it's so important, I think, that's a cost worth bearing for the state to be able to locate that information and find out where those kits are. It's not just for survivors, but for, those who are involved in the system. When we think about the problem of the unsubmitted kits, they were just, again, kind of sitting somewhere, and this allows people to access information, whether it be folks within the criminal justice system or, more importantly, survivors. And I think that's a key component to ensuring we don't have that problem again.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about legislation in the Capitol this year that would address sexual assault. Ian Henderson is our guide. He's an attorney with the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Your questions, your thoughts, you have a line, 800-642-1234. Were you or someone you know affected by our state's backlog of untested rape kits? Are you a police officer or perhaps an attorney? What do you think of the potential changes to Wisconsin's handling of sexual assault cases and evidence? Are there positive changes that you see coming along in the pipeline? What do you think lawmakers should know? 800-642-1234. Ian, another bill that is backed by Attorney General Josh Call and introduced by a bipartisan group of lawmakers would codify how the state currently stores these untested sexual assault kits. How does the state currently store these kits, and what would this legislation do?
Yeah, so this legislation is SB 200, the way we see this legislation really benefiting Wisconsin is that it culminates, or is the culmination of a lot of work over the past now nearly 7 years by a multidisciplinary group of individuals that were convened originally back in 2012 by then Attorney General Van Hollen, called the Attorney General Sexual Assault Response Team. And that group developed protocols regarding the testing, storage, and payment for rape kits. And so the protocols that were developed really gave survivors clear options at the time that they presented at the hospital for a forensic exam regarding just having their medical care only, regarding the option to have the kit collected and to participate in the criminal justice system, and then also to have a kit collected but to have it stored at the crime lab for a period of up to 10 years and then have the ability to then contact law enforcement to make a report. So this legislation basically codifies that work and puts it in statute, which we think is really critical to ensure, along with, like we talked about with the tracking system, this legislation is another huge step in ensuring we don't have a problem with unsubmitted kits in the future. And I think additionally, this legislation provides survivors options regarding engaging with the criminal justice system.
Where,
including, as I mentioned, the ability to have a kit collected and later and stored at the crime lab.
Where is it in the process? It hasn't had a public hearing, I understand.
It has not yet. It was introduced back in April, and no, it has not been scheduled for hearing yet. It's something that we are certainly working with members in the legislature to advocate for this bill, these bills to have a hearing. We think it's important that they move forward and that, again, they represent a real important step in ensuring we don't have a problem with unsubmitted kits in the future.
And last week, Senator André Jacques introduced a bill of rights for survivors of sexual assault. What are your thoughts on these types of proposals?
Well, you know, that one really just came out, and we are looking at it carefully. We have not been able to sort of really dive deep into that to form a concrete position on that at this point. I think what I would say, though, is we welcome attention to the issue of not only sexual assault, but sexual assault kits. So I think the more folks are engaged on the issue, that's a positive. And we look forward to working with the legislature on really developing the most comprehensive reform to ensure we don't have this issue again in the future.
Looking at bills circulating at the Capitol that address issues related to sexual assault, Ian Henderson is with us from the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. You as well, 800-642-1234. Are you a survivor of sexual assault or a victim's advocate? What do you think of our state's handling of sexual assault cases and evidence? Call in, email ideas, WPR.org. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this month, an assembly committee held a public hearing on a bill involving underage sexual activity. Cindy Komrowski from Johnson Creek testified on behalf of the bill. She shared her son's experience with being convicted of sexual assault against his girlfriend before the passage of Act 174, otherwise known as the Romeo and Juliet law.
In the eyes of the law, he is looked at and treated no differently for dating someone younger in high school and having consensual sex than a 50-year-old forcing himself on a child.
What do you think of this law addressing underage sexual activity? If a conviction occurred prior to the passage of the law, would you support the ability to petition the judge for retroactive relief? How do you feel about legislation that deals with sexual contact by law enforcement? Join in 800-642-1234. And Ian Henderson stays with us. He's an attorney and director of legal and system services for the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Ian, so let's look a little more closely on this so-called Romeo and Juliet cases where young adults are convicted of sexual contact with teenagers, some cases then required to register as sex offenders for life. Last year, the state lowered the penalty for some cases from a felony to a misdemeanor. What are lawmakers now considering in these cases?
Well, yeah, and I will be honest that the bill that had a hearing in the assembly, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Again, that's not something we have spent a lot of time focusing on. Our efforts have been focused on other legislation that kind of what we've talked about and focusing more on survivors. But obviously, this is legislation that impacts them as well, potentially. And I think just speaking very generally, you know, we would just want to make sure that there aren't any unintended consequences with such legislation to ensure that offenders who should be not be released and due to the nature of the assault, whether it was through force or coercion, we're not sort of going the other direction and making sure that there's again appropriate consequences for offenders who do engage in sexual violence.
One bill that's already seen some action in the Capitol this year deals with sexual contact by law enforcement. What can you tell us about that legislation, that bill?
Yeah, so that Assembly Bill 171 had a hearing back in June, and that is legislation we are supporting. And that legislation basically would close an important loophole in Wisconsin law. So right now, there's no prohibition on law enforcement having either sexual contact or intercourse with a person who's in their custody. In other words, right, that in such a situation, the prosecution would need to prove that that sexual contact or intercourse was not consensual. In other areas of the law, right, we have prohibitions on sexual contact by correctional officers on those who are confined in Department of Corrections facilities. There's also prohibitions on probation agents from having sexual contact with those who they're supervising, where lack of consent is not an element of those crimes. So we think AB 171 and the Senate companion bill are really logical next steps to closing that loophole and ensuring that prosecutors and law enforcement, more importantly, right, aren't having sexual contact with people who they are either stopped or detained or in their custody because due to the imbalance of power. I think that's what's really critical about this legislation. You know, law enforcement officers have a lot of power in our society, which means they have the ability to influence the choices over the people who they detain. And we think that an individual who is in the custody or is detained by law enforcement may not feel comfortable saying no, or they may fear negative consequences for not agreeing to sexual contact. And either way, right, consent is not possible when someone feels they don't have a choice.
Have there been cases in Wisconsin where prosecutors were unable to prosecute officers for sexual contact with a person in their custody?
You know, it's a really good question. I'm not sure. I think what we have seen is nationally, there was a high-profile case out of New York where law enforcement officers sexually assaulted an 18-year-old who they had in their custody. And when that was reported by the survivor, law enforcement officers claimed that the sex was consensual. And so New York and other states have looked at their laws, and we're glad that Wisconsin is looking at that to ensure that we close that loophole and that we make it clear that consent is never possible in these situations.
And every so often, a prison guard in Wisconsin is charged with sexual contact with an inmate. Do these same laws, do they not apply to other law enforcement officers?
Well, yeah, I mean, as defined, no. Law enforcement officers would not fall under that, the definition of correctional officer. So which is why we need to pass this law, because they would not fall under that particular provision of second-degree sexual assault.
We're talking about legislation in the Capitol dealing with issues around sexual assault. Ian Henderson stays with us. He is with the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Your questions, your thoughts on this, there's a line, 800-642-1234. How do you think lawmakers should be addressing sexual assault this year? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Ian, there's been this simmering debate across the country, around the world, because of scandals involving Catholic priests about extending the statute of limitations for child sexual assault cases. Has there been any traction, any push for that in Wisconsin among lawmakers?
Well, has there been traction? No, it's an issue that, you know, comes up periodically. Well, when I say periodically, I mean really it's come up every session. WCASA, and right now we are working with survivors and the National Association of Social Workers to lobby for what we're calling the Child Victims Act, which, as you just mentioned, right, is about civil statute of limitations reform. You know, when we look at the prevalence of child sexual abuse in our society, 1 in 10 children are going to be sexually abused before the age of 18. And in 93% of those cases, the survivor knows the perpetrator. And when we look at the impact on girls of color, 60% of black girls are sexually abused before the age of 18. So we think legislation, which again, it's like this, and other states have enacted similar legislation, the statute of limitation reform, that statute of limitations are particularly problematic for child sexual abuse survivors. You know, the data that I mentioned earlier about who the perpetrator is, and that it's in the vast majority of cases that someone's known to the victim, that oftentimes those will be family members or authority figures who may pressure survivors to remain silent. You know, so therefore, as an adult, it may take a survivor years before they're ready to disclose the abuse and seek justice. And by that time, the statute of limitations may have expired. Currently in Wisconsin, the statute civil statute of limitations in child sexual abuse cases is 35. And we think that legislation to remove completely the statute of limitations for civil cases for child sexual abuse makes sense in terms of a way to allow survivors to seek justice.
Let's bring in a call now. Steve joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, obviously, sexual assault is just a heinous crime, and it's just the impact it has on everyone is just incredible. And that's one of the reasons why we keep the victims' names quiet. We don't publicize who they are. My comment is men, who is mainly men, who are accused of it, have their name put all over the media before they're even convicted of something. Are there any laws being proposed to keep their name silent so their lives aren't ruined in the event that they are not guilty of the crime they're accused of?
Ian?
Yeah, I am not aware of any laws like that. I mean, I think when we think of how crime is reported, generally speaking, the offender's name is released in some of those situations and is talked about by the media. In that way, sexual assault isn't any different from any other crime. But I'm not aware of any legislation like that.
Ian, when you look at the bills now, the legislation that you're seeing here currently in the Senate and the Assembly, do you see any ones that have quite a bit of traction that you think will pass?
I think, you know, of the ones we've talked about, AB 171, that's the law enforcement bill that we talked about, has had a hearing and we're hopeful that we can get a hearing held in the Senate and move that forward. I do also hope with the rape kit legislation, both the tracking system and the legislation regarding putting in those clear parameters of when law enforcement has to send in the kit, and the crime lab storing that, and the forensic nurses sending it to law enforcement. Those I think that they received a lot of attention, and we're really hopeful that in the remaining time of this session that we can get hearings held and get them passed and signed. I think they're really common sense reforms and much needed reforms regarding sexual assault kits and giving survivors choices and clear information and expectations about what can happen to their kit.
Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us. I really appreciate it.
Ian Henderson is an attorney and director of legal and system services for the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, which supports dozens of victim service providers around the state. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Senator Lena Taylor from Milwaukee, who will talk about the legislation that would allow formerly incarcerated people to vote immediately after being released from prison. What do you think about this proposal? What questions do you have for the state senator? Join in 800-642-1234. News is coming up next. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.